Get your Bibles, and I would like for you to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8. I want us to read the very first verse, and I want to speak with you a message entitled, No Condemnation. No Condemnation. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Let's read it one more time. It says this, there is therefore now no condemnation. I want you to say no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would help me to relay the truth of your word to this, your people. I pray, Lord, for those that have been in the way for a long time or those that have only recently been saved, that you would help this to be understood in the Spirit, I pray. And I thank you for it all in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, Amen. The Apostle Paul was the writer of this particular letter to the Romans. In this letter, Paul would instruct the Romans concerning the gospel message he had been preaching for 25 years. If we want to know the doctrine that Paul taught, the doctrine, the teaching that Paul preached, if we want to understand what the preaching of the cross is, if we want to understand what the new covenant is, it is your and my best interest to read and understand the book of Romans. Because in it, Paul proclaimed in detailed fashion the whole message of the gospel he preached. Scholars of the past have said this is Paul's masterpiece. It's like the artist that has painted their masterpiece and has done their very best in that piece of art. In this book, Paul presents the very gospel message that he proclaimed to every church that he started, to every place he did missionary work, even to those churches that he visited to teach. Paul expressed it all in this book. Some have said the book of Romans is like, the whole Bible is like a beautiful ring. The book of Romans, some have said, is like the beautiful stone on that ring. But chapter 8 of the book of Romans is like the glistening reflection of light shining from that beautiful stone. In this chapter, Paul begins to spell out to the believer some very important truths that we must all understand. And he expresses it in the very first verse that there is no condemnation to the child of God. There is no reason for you or for me to be condemned by our sin any longer. But I must begin to labor with this point a little bit for understanding to come our way. There is a devil. And that name devil means accuser. He's a slanderer of the brethren. He will accuse believers day and night. There is scripture that says that he even stands before God and will accuse and point his finger at believers or those to make them condemned. I don't know about you, but I know that even in my life, prior to my salvation, there was a lot of things that I was doing that I should not have done. Anybody been there? You don't have to raise your hand. We're all human and have sinned. But there are times as we choose in our lives to follow after God, that devil will begin to accuse and he'll begin to lie and he'll begin to point his finger and try to condemn you and to condemn me. He will try to bring up things that we have done in our past. But I'm here to tell you that what has been done in the past has been wiped away, and as far as God is concerned, He sees it no more. The blood of Jesus is so powerful that it has wiped away all of our sins. And when you can handle it properly, hear what I'm saying. He has done away with our sin, past, present, and even future. But the message of the gospel and this message of no condemnation is in no way a message of license. The message of grace that was proclaimed by Paul and is proclaimed when we proclaim the good news, that God loves you and that God is not looking at you wrongly anymore. He has accepted you and He has received you as His own. That message of grace is so beautiful beyond compare. But it is not in any way a message to take advantage of and say, well, then I can sin away and do whatever I want to do in regards to wrong because God will forgive me anyway. If that is in our hearts in any way, I truly question the sincerity of that person's faith. Because when we truly love God, we will not do those things that will displease Him. When we truly love God, we will delight in doing those things that He delights in, and we will begin to hate what He hates. We will begin to be conformed into His likeness, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit in your and my life. And so I'm not preaching to you today a message of license, but I am going to tell you that God's grace has forgiven you so thoroughly that you need not be condemned anymore. And so when that condemner comes to you and begins to remind you of your past, someone said you need to start reminding him of his future. Amen? To be honest with you, you as a child of the living God, your past is done away with. And you are now going forward in Christ Jesus. I heard someone say recently, and I thought that was profound, but think about this. When you or I are driving down the freeway towards Denver, and we're driving down I-25. When you're driving forward on that freeway, you are looking at your mirrors, aren't you? Why do you look at your mirrors? Well, you look at the mirrors to look back, don't you? Now, there is going to be the times that you will look back, for God has done things in our past. You have fallen, you have made mistakes, but we learn from them, don't we? But we don't live in the past. We must live in the future as far as what God is going to do through our lives. Because if we stay looking at the rearview mirror, we're going to wreck. Don't look back anymore in the sense of staying there. He's forgiven you. And so when that liar begins to lie to you and say God is mad at you or God's holding that against you, you remind the devil that Jesus has dealt with our past. Amen? But let me say something else in regards to this. We must understand that we must not hold unforgiveness in regards to even things in the past. We must forgive. Did you hear what I just said? Jesus, in teaching his disciples as well as you and me about prayer, we all, probably the majority of us here, have the Our Father memorized. Jesus taught them about praying, didn't he? But Jesus, after teaching about that prayer, he would say, if you don't forgive men their sins or their trespasses, then I can't forgive you. And so we must be ever on guard that we don't hold grudges or that we don't hold someone's sins against them. Because God has forgiven us, we must also forgive. Amen? Forgive in your heart. That doesn't mean you have to be best friends with them anymore, whoever has hurt you. But it does mean in your heart, forgive them. Amen? Paul, in relaying his masterpiece to the Romans, began to show the finished work of the cross, the reality of what Jesus accomplished for you and me through that cross in forgiveness. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When Paul says in Christ Jesus, that is one of the classic statements of Paul. You read through Colossians, you read through Ephesians, and all of his other letters, especially those two. Paul will reiterate over and over again the statement in Christ, in Him, through whom. In whom? Talking about Jesus. And I need you to understand this, that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, even if you didn't fully understand this, you, through the work of the Spirit, were baptized into Christ Jesus. You were placed into Christ by faith. That means that you were placed in a place of unrighteousness before Christ. You were placed into Christ and have now obtained all of His righteousness. Where we were unworthy, when you accepted Christ and you were placed in Him, you were made worthy. When you were unforgiven, you were placed into Christ and were forgiven. Where you were a sinner, now being baptized into Christ, you have been made a saint. And so I'm here to tell you that as a believer, there is no condemnation for you if you are in Christ Jesus. But I want you to understand this, that if an individual has not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they are still outside of Christ. And there still is condemnation for them. Amen. That's why there's only one way to be made right with God. And God made that way possible through His Son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is not concerned about all of our works to be made righteous, because all the work has already been accomplished through His Son in our place. So that now we've received all of that righteousness by faith through His grace, so that now God receives us and accepts us perfectly whole. You're just as righteous in the sight of God through the blood of Jesus as Jesus Christ is. Wow, Pastor, you're serious? Are you serious that God really sees me that whole? Yes. But I don't feel that way, Pastor. I woke up this morning and there was a struggle. It was hard to get to church. I didn't feel righteous this morning. But you've got to understand that God sees you in Christ. Amen. And because you're in Him, and because the Holy Spirit resides within your heart, He's going to begin to do something to cause you to want to desire Him. Amen? And that's why the Scripture says, look at this, chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Yes, it was hard to get ready for church. But you didn't listen to your flesh crying out for attention. You said, I'm going to church anyways. And you listened to the Spirit, didn't you? And you said, I'm going to church anyhow, even if I don't feel like going. I know sometimes you don't feel like coming to church. We're all outside of Christ and in the flesh. We don't want anything to do with God. The flesh is contrary to the things of God. And that's a part of you and me. So it's no surprise that sometimes there is not desire to pray. There isn't desire to want to attend church. It's not a surprise. It's a part of the fallen nature that we all have. But you don't only have a fallen nature anymore. You are born of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God resides within you. And so now not only do you have that fallen nature, you have a new nature within. And that new nature is saying it's time to get it with God. Get right with God. Go to church. Pray. Read. And if we, and as we begin to give ear to the Spirit and not to our fallen nature anymore, you will overcome the deeds of the flesh. Romans chapter 6, we're not going to go there, but I want you to take time after church today and read it. Because Paul will show that there is freedom over the tyranny of sin in us. You don't have to go with your sinful desires anymore. You don't have to go in the way of the flesh. You have a choice to walk in the Spirit or in the flesh. But as you walk in the Spirit, you will begin to overcome. Amen? But let me explain how God sees you. God sees you in Christ, perfectly whole and complete. The book of Hebrews, we shared some of this, or from this portion yesterday, but it says he has perfected forever those that come unto God by him. It's talking about God has made you complete in his sight by faith. And so there's a teaching. Let me just explain this really quick in regards to our position in Christ and our condition in Christ. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you became a child of God. Amen. That's who you are in Christ Jesus. That will not change. Your position in Christ is something that is secure if you remain in him. You are a child of God. The scripture says that greater is he that is within you than he that's within the world. The Bible says God is for you and he's not against you. The Bible says you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who you are. That's how God sees you. That is your position in Christ. But your conditions in Christ change. Your emotions change. Your days change. Good days, bad days. You feel like you got off on the right side of the bed, good day. Feel like you got off on the wrong side of the bed, bad day. But when you have those bad days, or the attitude gets the best of you, does God look at you any different? No, you are in Christ. And we as believers need to learn to see ourselves the way that God sees us. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. This freedom of the gospel is so freeing that God has made a way for you and me to approach him without fear of rejection. God is not going to turn his back on you. You're his child. He is for you and he wants to help you. He wants to be glorified through you. And so he loves you. And that love is an everlasting love that will never change. That means when we were walking good and we were having a good day, and then all of a sudden we tripped, someone got mad at us and we got mad back. I remember David Wilkerson said, I don't feel like I'm even saved until about 9 o'clock in the morning. But that didn't change the position in how God saw him or you. Amen? We're going to trip up. We're going to make mistakes. We are human. But we're not saved by our works. We're saved by grace through faith in the finished work of Calvary. That's why the gospel is still good news. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to begin to see God's love for you. Just turn down in your chapter 8 of Romans to verse 31. And I want you to just begin to contemplate, begin to think about what is stated in these verses about you. Remember, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior by faith, you were placed into Christ, into a position in him that is, will not change as you remain in him. Verse 31 says, what shall we say to these things? I'm reading from the Modern English Version. What then shall we say to these things? And this is all that he said previous to this. If God is for us, who can be against us? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I want you to say, praise the Lord. If God is for us, who can be against us? Look at verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Can you imagine this? That God himself would give his only begotten son to save you and me. And then the fact that you received his son into your life as Lord and Savior, that God loved us so much that before we were saved, Christ died for us. Can you imagine his love for you now that you are his? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Or just say all things. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Wow, what? That means when the devil tries to bring a charge against you and condemn you and criticize you and slander your life, and he even comes to God and say, look at that person. Look how unfaithful they are. Look at the mistakes they keep making. Look how imperfect they are. It's God who has already justified the one he's trying to condemn. It's God who has justified you by faith. Oh, praise. Look at chapter 5, verse 1 real fast. Put the marker there in 8, but look at chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, not by works, not by church denomination, not by teacher that you sit under to learn from, but by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are in the peace of God. We are at peace with God. We're not enemies anymore. Oh, it's beautiful. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Verse 34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, yes, who is risen, who is also at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, Paul says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, Paul says. Now notice what he said. I'm persuaded of this. That means that there was a time that he was contemplating this. He was wrestling with this thought. Is God able to justify me to this extent? Is God really forgiven me of such greatness? Has God really done this work so completely? And he says this, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, for I am persuaded, he said, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor principalities nor power, neither things present nor things to come, neither height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you're in Jesus, say amen. And if you're in Christ Jesus, you are in his love. And his love for you will not change. God is for you. He is not against you. And he has come to bring us to a place of freedom in him that we don't need to be condemned anymore. You and I can enter boldly to his throne of grace. We can walk into the Holy of Holies by faith. And we can have communion with the living God. We can grow close to him and he can grow close to us. You see, the cross wasn't just for us to be able to approach God. Did you know that? It wasn't just so that we can go into the Holy of Holies. It was also that God can come to meet us. You have been made complete in Christ Jesus so that the sin that would have hindered that relationship has been eradicated once and for all. So that now God can meet us and we can meet God and we can grow close to him, love him, know him, and he can know us. Amen. Our Christianity is truly about a relationship with him. It's not about the works we can do for him, as good as those are, and we should be praying, God, use me more. We should have such a relationship with him that we're drawing so near to him that we can't help but be in church every single Sunday because I love him so much. Amen. That we, in our devotional time, are committed to that devotional time because there is such a relationship with him. The more you love God, the more you want to be with him. The more that you're with him, the more you delight in being with him. It's a relationship, a love relationship. And God loves you. Amen. When that devil tries to condemn you and say, oh no, but don't you remember what you used to do? Don't you remember what you did yesterday? You say, liar. Yes, I did do that wrong, but I've repented. I've been washed in the blood. I am in Christ and my position in him has not changed. I don't care how awful I feel today. Amen? That's when you shout hallelujah anyhow. I'm not going to let those burdens bring me down. Amen? Yeah. That we begin to count those blessings and name them one by one. Yes. And we begin to say, thank you, Lord, and worship Him always. Because He's worthy. He has done everything to make you accepted. Everything to make you acceptable. You don't have to fear your past. You don't have to fear what's going to happen in the future. You rest in Him. Rest in Him. And you put your complete trust in Him, just like we studied in Daniel. Amen? And He will bless your devotion to Him. Love Him because He is lovable. Don't love Him because the pastor is saying you better love Him. Then it's not real love. It needs to come from your heart. Amen? God loves you. Amen? And the scripture says again, there is therefore now no condemnation. Quick definition. Condemnation is something that will separate you from God. It's the feeling that God's mad at you, that God's against you. Then you feel like, oh no, if I've did this wrong, you feel condemned. I got to get away. God's mad at me. Condemnation pulls you away from God. But as a child of God, you will feel by the Spirit of God conviction for sin. Conviction is different. You feel bad. You feel awful about it. But instead of running away, you run to Him. Lord, I've hurt you. Forgive me. Amen. And you draw near to Him anyways. That is good old-fashioned conviction. And we need that. Amen? But there is no more condemnation. Praise the Lord. Let's stand.